The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views of the show's host and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the management, owners, or staff of this radio station. And now, it came from the radio.
Toy, and welcome once again to It Came From The Radio, the official show of the Big Apple Con. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. I am here all by myself in the MFC studios for this week's show. On this week's show, we have L-Man Jenny Felley interviewing filmmaker Rob Graydon. And also, we have part two of the Leslie Carrara Rudolph panel at the MCON. It was recorded live. The first part was aired a couple episodes back. And this will be the second and final part of the interview. She is a actress, puppeteer, most famously known for being Abby Cadabby on Sesame Street. She has some great, amazing insights, and that's going to be part of the show. But before we do any of that, let's take it away with the non-news.
It's morphin' time!
The non-news is brought to you in part by the fine folks at sci-fi.radio. That is sci-fi for your Wi-Fi. As well as the fine folks at the Big Apple Con, of which we are the official radio show of. Celebrating over 26, 7, 8, 9 years of comic bookness and pop culture stuff. For more information, go to www.bigapplecc.com. The next convention is scheduled all the way for November the 21st. Tickets are not on sale right now. Also want to give out shout-outs for our Patreons, of which there are Danny Grillo, award-winning director Jared Burrell, News Day, Famous Resident Media, Chad Rabbit Art, Yasmin Ray, The Hurricane, Millie Portez, and GTS Comics. If you want to have your own little shout-out, go to our website, www.itcamefromradio.com. The little button on there takes you right to our Patreon page. Also, on the It Came From The Radio website is my book, Designated, a book about two warring alien races fighting over a newly discovered power source. The war finds its planet Earth, and as a result, some humans gain abilities. Issue 1 and Issue 2 is on sale right now. In addition to that, there's also an option to get your own special designated shout-out on that site. So, we have one special designated shout-out for Jimmy Palmiotti. We actually made a song for him, so we're going to put that in right here.
Do you want to give Jimmy a song? Let's hear it.
What's your favorite song? I sing it.
Jimmy, you're great.
All right. So with that, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more. It Came From The Radio.
Hi, you've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com.
Calling all comic fans, Hurricane, Long Island's only benefit comic art convention, returns in 2026. Join us May 9th and December 12th at Bethany Congregational Church, East Rockaway, New York. Grab toys and collectibles, dig through comic books, meet artists and writers, enter amazing raffles, enjoy food, fellowship, and rock your cosplay. Just a $5 donation gets you in from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Visit Hurricane on Facebook, and on Instagram, it's Hurricane LI for details. Hurricane, where heroes unite for good.
My neural net processor is linked to sci-fi.radio, the sci-fi for my Wi-Fi. The more I listen, the more I learn.
Step into the fantastic world of cool kids comics and toys at 2055 Hempstead Turnpike, East Meadow, New York. Discover Comic-Con exclusives, the latest Funko Pops, and a treasure trove of new and vintage toys and comics. Whether you're a collector or a first-time visitor, we got something to spark your imagination over here. Visit Cool Kids Comics and Toys today. Let your adventure begin, huh?
Comic Books for Kids is the largest charity in the U.S. for comic books, toys, and pop culture items to children in hospitals and cancer centers. Donations of toys, books, action figures, Funko Pops, or anything pop culture related can be made to this organization. Find them at cb4k.org.
Now, back to our show.
So, speaking of the two-way street, how important is the audience to your performance? Like, if you had a dead audience, what would you do to, like, well, I don't know, or you just work with what you have?
I think that, I mean, for me,
If it's just me, then there's no point to me performing. If I'm writing a story by myself and I'm thinking about the audience, like, where do I want to take them on this journey? But of course, the audience is everything. You want to check in with them, like, how are you doing? You know, I see you're leaning in with your chin. I'm like, yes, I'm super excited. Oh my gosh, you laughed. You know, I mean, this is terrible. I do audience participation all the time.
Right.
But if I'm in the audience, I hate it. I sit in the back. I don't want anyone to come near me. I went to a fringe festival and I was like, please get away from me. No, stop. And the person kept leaning in. I'm like, ah! I think the audience is everything, and you have to trust sometimes in your own purpose. Like, I always tell people that get into acting, you have to decide if you're there for the audience or if the audience is there for you, what kind of performer you are. There are performers out there that could care less what the audience is there because they're singing, "Do I sound fabulous? I'm going to do... Oh, for you is a fire that would ascend the greatest heaven of invention, a kingdom for a state." And you're like, you don't even care if I'm there. You know? I'm there for the audience. If you're the other type of performer, then it doesn't matter. It's not as fun because it doesn't matter who's in the room. I perform for my dog all the time and he just doesn't really give me the response I like, but I know he's enjoying it. This is my curse. It's about time.
I resent that. First of all, I resent that you put me in an Abby to Abby bag. Because, Kelly, I told you, like, but Abby, I've been there longer than she has. Oh, no, she's not here. It's me. Look, I could stay in this bag, but it won't be the same. Because, first of all, she's upside down.
Okay. Did you notice I almost put the microphone to the bag?
Well, didn't even put lotion on this morning. How do you, that makes me feel before?
Absolutely.
Now you have to hold it. I'll hold it.
Because, hi.
You can assist me. Why don't you grab one of these rods and say hi, everybody?
Hi.
Hi, thank you for joining. Oh, that's another thing. Abby took my laugh.
Did she?
Yeah, she put my hand on.
I didn't know how long I was supposed to hold your hand. So when you're working with other characters, how is that?
How am I working with other characters? Yeah. I usually get along well with them. I mean, I'm not allowed on Sesame Street because of an incident. Okay, we won't talk about it.
So you're the original?
I am Lolly Lollipop. I am the queen of candy. I was born on Halloween. And my favorite kind of sugar is red.
Mm-hmm. Red sugar?
Yeah. Red lollies, licorice and lollies, rocket box, raspberry drops, cinnamon berries, fruit, red hair, strawberry, yellow, musty raw, watermelon, happy, in my jaw, 5 or 6 for red hot lipstick. I want to get my sugar kick. 2 weeks to
finish. So when you're working with Leslie, and you have to...
Listen, I tried to have her removed, but I couldn't talk.
Is that what happened to you?
You know what I'm saying?
Isn't that important to not be a ventriloquist, to have the voice?
I think she's lazy.
Really?
Oh, yeah, try not moving your lips. Oh, that's just terrible. Actually, I don't know, she could maybe do it. That's okay. People ignore her when I'm here anyway, as they should. I mean, who wears pants that loud into a library?
And where are your pants?
What?
What are your pants?
I don't have legs. I don't even have a booty hook at an elbow, which makes it impossible for me to balance. I asked for legs from Santa, but I've been on the list, so...
Okay, Lolly.
Yes?
So do you know that you're an extension of Leslie?
How can I not? Ridiculous. You try having a weird 12 stuck to your elbow. It's not pretty. Yes, I know. I helped Leslie a lot. I literally dragged her through life.
I literally knew you should look at one of the videos. I'm amazing.
Man, this is actually happening. All right, so...
It's happening. So
you have little hands on the bottom of your hands for the puppeteers. Do you know you're a puppet?
Well, so I'm told.
Okay.
You know, sometimes people could care less, you know? Sometimes a kid will run up and say, you're a puppet. And I'm like, surprise, surprise. Of course I'm a puppet. You know, not only that, I'm a sock puppet. I was born in an underwear drawer.
All right, so here's an existential question for you.
Existential. Can't you hear me? What are you doing here?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know if he's asking.
So.
Maybe Leslie does.
So Wally.
I'll channel her brain.
Yes, thanks. So Wally, if someone else was to be your elbow and your hand, how would that be like?
It would. Oh, are you auditioning?
No, no.
Oh my gosh! Is there a way that I can have Beyonce be my face? Because that would be epic. It would be completely different, right?
But would you be you, or would you be somebody else?
I'd be somebody else.
Really?
Yeah.
Who would you be?
I mean, I've been with Leslie for 26 years, and I'm only 5.
How is that possible?
26 years of being 5. I'm immature. No, she's immature.
Have you ever thought of having your own puppet?
I do have my own puppet.
You have your own puppet.
Yes. Do you know I have a Sasquatch named Gordon?
Really?
Yeah, Leslie did bring her Sasquatch with me. Yeah, it's just, I have so many puppets, it's just crazy. Yeah.
This is crazy.
How's that for existential?
That is pretty existential.
Have you ever thought about being a puppeteer?
Actually, believe it or not, when I was a kid, I used to have a cup and a sock. And he had a little, what was it, pipe? The little pipe? The twisty pipe things?
Pipe cleaner? Right?
Yes, pipe cleaner. That's his arm.
Oh my gosh. Leslie is obsessed with pipe cleaners. Yeah, in fact, there's a pipe cleaner version of me.
Really?
Yes. If you go to our YouTube channel, it's called Lolly's Twisted Tails. And it's me doing stop motion with my pipe cleaner version of my Sasquatch. And my granny doors. Yes. There's different versions of me.
So, have you talked to yourself in different versions of you? Or is it only one at a time?
Okay, I'm going to say something really weird, but there is another version of me at home. Okay, here's the deal. Oh my goodness. Let's say that she has two of me. Right? So, I'm Fathead Lolly. Now, I'm Fathead Lolly because I'm the newest of the Lollies.
Okay.
And Leslie accidentally used a medium male sweat sock. And normally I'm a women's large. So the other Lolly fits Leslie's hand a little better. And I just look a little bit slimmer. And now that one calls me Fathead Lolly. But a lot of times we're outside in different environments and, you know, people with makeup kiss me, children with frosting, like their... Why do kids put their hands into people's mouths? Oh, only puppets' mouths. What is that? Why do they do it? Adults do it too. I have a question for the audience. Why do you put your finger in puppets' mouths? What is it? You know we're going to fight it. What? I guess so, but that's just creepy. What if you put your finger in my mouth and I throw up frosting all over you?
Oh.
And what if some of these kids may have had their finger in their nose first? Go home. Leslie goes to clean me and there's like 7 boogers in there.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but that's my life. Okay, Lolly. Sorry about this.
It's fine.
I'm getting deep. Let's keep it real.
This is multi-level of interviewing I've never done before.
I don't know. Where is this going to live?
So what we're going to do is, if you have any questions for the audience, you're raising now, we'll come to you. And we can ask Leslie or Lolly a question.
I'm more
Okay.
This young lady, what's your question? What's your name?
Tara.
Tara, what's your question?
Hi, Tara.
Okay,
Tom.
Tara.
Tara.
Okay. Have you met Abby before? Like, Abby to Abby? Did you guys get along that well at all?
I'm Tom. Okay. Yay. Abby and I oftentimes have to ride in an overhead compartment together in an airplane. So I had to fly all the way to Kenya with Abby. It was okay. We were there. I mean, she's really nice. I think that's the annoying part. Abby is so nice all the time. She gets upset with her chest because she wants to be a better fairy. You know, she wants to listen more. And she's super nice and she likes candy and stuff like that. And just a little bit saying, I'm jealous. And I tell Wally that comparison is the thief of joy. It's just that Abby used to be on TV and everything and... Well, it's hard for me. Okay. Lolly, guess what though? Abby didn't get to come to MCOM. And you came here, like you were created because I can take you anywhere. This is true. And she goes places that Abby can't go. This is true. And sometimes I tell Abby what it's like out there. Because she has to stay on Sesame Street unless they take her somewhere. But I go everywhere. I wish I could go to Disneyland. That would be nice.
Yeah, what's your name?
Stephen Greffy.
Stephen, what's your question?
I love Sesame Street. It inspired my life because I'm autistic. Do you know what that is?
I do.
I have so many friends from the autism family.
And I didn't really like anything or do anything, but now I'm a world traveler. I've been to South Africa, India, and Sesame Street inspired my whole life and Mr. Rogers, so I just want to thank you. So that's Sesame Street.
That's the one thing.
I have
Abby
in my heart and I just want to thank you for saying that because I think we're all like wired so differently and I think the best thing that brings us together is things we love and have joy and have common, so I'm super glad you shared that.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Hello, what's your name?
Stephanie. Nice to meet you.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie.
So, more technical question as a puppeteer. Since you're in these awkward positions, do you ever feel any, physical pain?
Constantly.
Really?
Yeah. I say my right arm is steel and my left arm is veal. But, you know what's funny? Are you going to use me for this? It's really hard because I'm holding this. Ironically,
I'm going to demonstrate.
I think what it is that your body is across yourself. Okay, hold this. So a lot of times, let's say, right, usually our microphone is on our head, right? So you don't have that. And then I'll be like this, right? And if I'm next to elbow, and so Elmo has his head there. So a lot of times, in order to get around Ryan's head, I'm performing behind my body. This arm is around here. And if I have to look at someone over there or this side, your arm is just doing horrible things. So ironically, it's mostly the left arm is in pain because your right arm can move like this. And if you're sitting down, and you can't have a monitor in front of you, sometimes you're looking at a monitor over there, so your core twisted. And then if you have a person here in front of you, so to answer your question, yeah, I'll always I'm in better shape when I can swim because it's an even thing, but I do my best to try to keep it even. Yes.
Got another question. What's your name?
Cassandra, hi.
Hi, Cassandra.
Hi, Cassandra.
Hi. From all those years as a puppeteer, what do you find the most challenging about
how doing it, and also on Sesame Street, how are you able to maintain pain, like all the other previous puppeteers that you analyze as a kid and in general?
Wow, that's a lot of questions. So the first question, I think, was...
How do you maintain being a puppet with all the other legends around you?
Well, how does Leslie me maintain it? I am always inspired and on the verge of tears because I'm so in awe and happy, and I was really lucky that Carol Spinney, who played Oscar at Big Bird, was like my fairy godfather, and his wife is still calls me her fairy goddaughter. Working with, you know, Kevin and working with, and working with so many people, Carmen, Marty, all these people that came before me, I'm just constantly humbled. And so I try to just be the best that I can be. But I also, again, a lot of it is easier for me because I'm Abby, right? So there's Leslie, and then there's Abby,
and then there's me. And so I'm able to be absolutely fearless and fabulous and wonderful, even though she is freaking out constantly. This time, for Leslie's done entire scenes with a full bladder, and nine of us do the pee-pee dance. But she is,
so I'm able to kind of like put my mind in my puppet and just stay grateful and stay focused on the connection. Does that make sense? Okay, thank you.
All right, we got another question. What's your name?
Anthony,
what's your question?
Hi, Andy.
How does one get into the puppeteer business? Like, did you start acting or voiceover?
Oh, you kind of joined us late. Okay, everybody has a different... No worries. Everybody has a different journey. I think for me, I kind of fell into it. Some people find out early what it takes to be a puppeteer. Like, they'll take classes or they'll see how it works and they'll say, that's what I want to do. And there's, at the University of Connecticut, they have a puppetry program. And there's all kinds of classes you can look online to see how to do it. But when I started, I had no idea what I was doing at all. I was around, like, I still worked with puppets, but I didn't know anything about television puppetry. And I was terrified. Muppets Tonight was my first job, and I thought I was going to get fired every single day. So I think I just really love the art form, and I love characters. So I think if you want to be a puppeteer, join a puppetry guild because you'll discover all different types of puppetry. And then just do it because you like it. And the more you do it, the better you get, because I had to just keep doing it until I didn't suck. I mean, Dave Goals, who plays Gonzo, he said, you know, kid, it's going to be about 7 years before you get any good at this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I was like, I don't even think I'll be here a week, let alone 7 years, and that was 30 years ago. So, it is a really good question. I think you just kind of do it, and have fun, and create your own characters. Don't wait for anybody to tell you, just do it.
Audrey, what's your question?
Do you have any, advice for, voice actors?
Yes, I do. I have lots of advice for that. I mean, is there any more questions for me? Because I might have to. I'm going to take Lolly off just for this. Okay, so your voice is like an instrument. I always, when I'm out and about, realize that I have to keep my instrument healthy, for one thing. So a lot of times I'm chewing gum, and I chew gum because that keeps my vocal cords nice and moist, and I keep it hydrated. So that is the basic thing, is vocal health. The other thing is I'm gonna do a vocal trick for you. Are you ready? This is my trick that I do. I'm gonna tell my favorite story in 2 minutes. Are you ready? Okay.
What's Dorothy done?
What's she done? All the leaves, the bottom of my leg.
She bit you?
No, her dog.
She bit your dog?
No, that dog bit me. It's the mess community. I'm taking them to the sheriff to make sure it's destroyed.
All your cans, all your muscles, and then you are literally why you hit children with a rake, and that's why she bit you, you wicked old witch. Run, children, run.
Who you nasty dog? I'm a good witch or a bad witch? Well, I'm not a witch at all. What was that?
Trying to be show-offy. So there's all these different things that go into that.
Well, I could talk forever about characters, but the voice really starts with what you want to say.
So we're almost out of time.
Oh my gosh.
But I want to get into your charity.
Oh, it's not even a charity. So actually, this is like, we're not nonprofit, but we shame rich people and corporations into giving money to nonprofits. I want to say shame rich people as much as I want to encourage rich
strongly
people.
Encourage.
I strongly encourage rich people and corporations into giving money to nonprofit organizations, and those organizations hire Humor with a Heart to create content, to come up with shows, to do shows in communities. So let's say, here's an example, Peoria Children's Hospital knows that I work with kids in pediatric cancer, and their doctors and nurses and caregivers were getting burnout and depression dealing with kids that were hurting. So the Children's Hospital said, we're going to pay for Leslie to come in and do her family show, and then also she's going to do a professional development talk. So then I talked to all the doctors and nurses, and I told them about puppetry and art and different ways that they can reach a child who might be bored or sick or tired or lonely in their bed, right? And I just gave them some fun skill sets. So that Peoria Children's Hospital paid for me to do a show for the community, and then I came up with content that I gave to all the doctors. Does that make sense?
It does.
So we also work with neurodiverse autism communities. We work with trauma, kids have been, or families have gone through something. So the Humor with a Heart is basically, times are really, really hard, but if you can find some joy or laughter in the middle of it, you can create magic. So we kind of do all those things. And we help people navigate life creatively. It's on my pencil. We don't have a lot of product. We have a sticker and a pencil, and we don't even sell them. We just give them away. So we're a terrible organization because we do everything for free. But one day, we're going to take over the world.
Well, speaking of free, where can you find out more about you for free online?
Yeah, so if you follow us on Instagram, we do have a Facebook page. We're not so great at it. And Instagram, a lot of things we do, we can't post online because it's privacy and kids are going through stuff. But we always post when we're performing somewhere. We're hoping to do a YouTube channel that has more things like, hey, let's make a stained glass window today. Lolly Larpop has a... She's crazy. I have a YouTube channel. Lolly has an Instagram, but it's mostly me posting about me and, Abby and more Sesame Street stuff. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Humor with a Heart is probably the best way, and we actually check the messages there pretty regularly. Or if you do, go to our website, write to Jamie. She's more adult than I am. I mean, I'm just so busy. She's like, you said I have something wrong with your letter. My God. I can't believe. Okay, there, I said it.
So we have about a minute left. Do you have any final thoughts for the audience here?
I just want to say thank you for coming out, and you know, I'm really, really impressed with libraries, and this one in particular, because they're so plug into the community as much as possible. I think libraries are a good resource for that. YMCAs are a really good resource for that. I mean, for me, I grew up with the Park and Recreation Department. I was really super grateful for that. Growing up, we had a tragedy in our family, and I felt, there were times I felt alone. But I got involved with theater and sports and things like that. So if you're alone, first of all, if you're alone, please reach out to Humor with a Heart, because we are fearless friends, and we'll figure out a way for us, you know, to lift you up. And you're all filled with art. You can't spell heart without art. So literally, you all have a heart, so you all have AI. Art inside.
That's beautiful. So thank you very much.
Mic drop! No, I'm not going to drop it. See, at the table, we're giving away free... I'm just cartooning stuff today, just drawing things for the heck of it, and giving it away if you come up with a good story for it. Okay.
Thank you very much.
And there you have it. That is the second part of the interview done at the MCON. My special thanks for Leslie Calabro for being such an amazing guest. And I also want to thank the MCON for letting us have that ability to do it. So with that, we're going to take another break, and we'll be right back with more. It Came From the Radio.
Hey, everybody. This is Todd McFarlane of the record-setting Spawn comic series. And if you're looking for any kind of cool conversation about creators, about entertainment, about all that good stuff, you go to It Came From the Radio. You're listening to the right spot.
Now, back to our show.
You are listening to It Came From the Radio. I should probably grab my mic, right? So I'm with Rob Green in here. He's born on December 11th, 1965 in Kingston, Jamaica. And he's an editor. He's an assistant director. He's a director. He's a former stand-up comedian. He's a producer. He's a dad. He's a husband. He's a host of the Stabby Road podcast. And he's a director, assistant director, overall helper, everything, editor, colorist of a film that I'm executive producer and makeup artist of. I've been involved in this film for almost 4 years, I think, before Rob came around, and that's called Necromance. So yeah, Rob Graydon does a lot of different things, and he's here right now, so welcome.
Thanks, Jen. Or doctor, is it doctor, or is it Jen?
Well, today it's just Jen. Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Jen.
Yeah, the doctor's out. She's doing lip injections. She's busy.
Oh, my God. All right.
Yeah, it's busy. There's a lot of girls that want lip injections these days, so she's out of here. So we're going to go right into something you did in the early 2000s, mm-hmm. and it's called The Fangoria Blood Drive, America's Best Horror Film. So that was, I think it came out, the release date says like 2004 online. Yeah. You can still catch that on Amazon, all over the place. It's, you know, Fangoria is a pretty big deal. So now you helped create this. And simply put, for anyone who doesn't know, it was a film contest that chose 7 winners and then put them in the Fangoria Blood Drive compilation. And then you also got to work with Rob Zombie and Stan Winston, Clive Barker, a whole bunch of people. So tell us about that. What was that like?
That was okay. So let's start off with at the time the editor of Fangoria, who was Tony Timpone. I was very fortunate to go to high school with Tony. Tony and I went to high school together. Oh. So and he was just one of those guys who, from the time we were in high school, he actually said, "I want to be the editor of Fangoria magazine," and he freaking did it. You know, he actually ended up doing it.
Wow.
And so there came a time when we were doing stuff that sort of overlapped, and they were these guys at Koch Entertainment, who we had a relationship with, were looking to do something horror related, and so we were able to cross over those two things. And Tony got us, they eventually came up with this idea of a blood drive, which was essentially just a competition of kind of like, it was like a film festival, essentially, yes, only on DVD. Mm-hmm. And so a whole bunch of people sent their, they advertised it through Fangoria, and a whole bunch of people sent in their films, short films, and the winners got to be on this disc. And we did two of them, actually. We ended up doing a second blood drive. So the first blood drive we had, I came up with the idea of, if it's going to be a DVD, and back then just the menu pages were just menu pages, they were kind of boring. We were kind of like, well, what if we got someone to host the actual thing, but through the menu pages? And through mutual friends, we had known Rob's manager, a guy by the name of Andy Gould. And so myself, this guy S.A. Barron, who was also part of the company that we were working for, and Tony all kind of asked Rob, and Rob said sure. And so we flew out to L.A. It was actually very fortunate because it was the day that he was shooting it was a show for AMC, and it was a whole bunch of different filmmakers and, you know, coming in and out of this hotel suite talking about horror movies. And so we were just down the hall in our own suite. Okay. And so in between stuff, he would just come run in, and he would do art. We would shoot those green screens, and we would put him. He became part of the actual DVD itself. He's part of the menu So anytime the menu pops up, he would just talk about it. He improvised a lot. We got along great. He's like an incredibly cool guy. I remember asking him a question that he was actually appreciative of, because there was always like this old myth that if you ever see the Dracula video, there's this clown who's just laughing hysterically and there's fire, you know, going off and around him. And it was always this myth that that was Jerry Lewis from a film that never, ever came out called The Day the Clown Cried. It was banned, and Lewis, you know, he put it in a vault, and only a handful of people had ever seen it. And so I just flat out asked him, I said, is that a clip from that? And he laughed. He said, you know what? He said, it's not. He said, it's an old, it's like an old carnival commercial from when he was a kid that creeped him out. And he just found it again, and he just put it in the video. But it does look a lot like if Jerry Lewis was a dressed up in clown makeup. So that became he said, you're the first person who ever asked me that. And I said, oh, great. So that was always
fun. You're very insightful.
Yeah.
And that's why I like working with you. You know, we worked on Necromance, you know, quick aside, I had done all this makeup in the woods an hour away, and then our actor dropped out, and, you know, we have to shoot 2 pages, and this is a film I worked on for like 3 years, and the main actress, she knows all her lines, and essentially you, me, and 2 other people, we had to rewrite the ending and just freestyle and shoot a totally different plan, but
we improvised a whole new ending. We had to like rewrite it and still have the integrity of the rest of the film. So it just didn't seem like it came out of nowhere. I just saw a cut of that, and it works really well. So we were all very happy how that came out. And your makeup is just awesome, man. Every time we work together on your makeup, you do like this cool makeup. Can I say that you actually did awesome makeup for my film?
Thank you. Yes. Tenuator. Sure. Of course.
Yeah.
Well, not much.
No, you did some great.
Oh, I did a car accident scene. That's easy.
Yeah, but it was like filled with blood and glass hanging out. And it worked really, really well.
Well, you made it really look good. And the reason why I brought up that, you know, the crazy scene with Necromance is we were able to make it work because the actress and you and TJ, we all have very creative minds, and we're able to just think on our feet, and you have really good insights. So that's really why I brought that up, because if you weren't there, maybe, you know, me and the other two, but you're really a good quick thinker, and you're able to, you know, figure things out when things go wrong. And also with the makeup, thank you. I mean, it was easy makeup, car accident makeup, and, you know, Tom Corsair is an incredible actor. He's outstanding. But you made it look really good because you shot, he's supposed to look like he's in an ambulance after a car accident, which was essentially shot on the top of my old mattress, which I threw out, covered in blood with lights. But the way you set it up, it looks like he's really in an ambulance.
Thank you. Yeah. So, and again, that was also sort of last minute too, because that wasn't in the script.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
And you originally were just supposed to be an actor in it. And we were just like, oh, could you do like some makeup? And you're like, sure. And so like we improvised a lot of that.
Oh,
you know,
whatever.
But you came up with that, the sort of that bloody scar gouging and all that sort of stuff that looked great. But you came up with it like that day.
Well, that's easy. Car accident stuff, heroin stuff, you know, addict stuff, no problem. So now we're going to totally switch gears. Now, you used to tour as a stand-up comedian. I think you mentioned touring with Jim Norton and a bunch of other really big names that people know about nowadays. Yeah. You were deep into comedy, right?
I was. I was a stand-up from 1986 to 2001.
That's a long time. So you also were or are the director of Sesame Street. You directed several segments on Sesame Street. So random question, are there any overlaps or similarities or things you learned while touring in stand-up that you've applied to Sesame Street?
Yes. So believe it or not, there actually is. Before I directed Sesame, I directed a for a company called No Strings International. And basically what they do is they create puppet films, like big elaborate puppet films. I mean, we shoot on half sound stages and stuff like that for kids at at-risk parts of the world. So the first one, I'll give you an example. The first one I ever worked on was teaching kids in Afghanistan about landmines, because thanks to us and the Russians, there are more landmines in Afghanistan than there are people.
Wow.
So what you would teach your kid, you know, don't cross between two cars. A kid there would have to learn that if you're walking down the street and you or walking, you know, wherever, and you see like a cow that's been blown up,
wow,
you have to step backwards in the step in the footprints that you came in, because you know those footprints are safe. Those prints, yeah, got you there without a clue. So they created these wonderful films based on, you know, different based on, that were culturally appropriate, that were region appropriate, and that taught different kids, you know, AIDS awareness in Hawaii in Haiti, and parts of Africa, and nutrition in Madagascar, which again, things that we don't think of are huge issues.
Mm-hmm.
In these different parts of the world, Indonesia, which was a whole mess. We shot like 5 different things of that because it was like,
yeah,
it was like, you know, volcanoes and earthquakes and, you know, things that like you have to teach kids to, you know.
Well,
so the reason why I brought all that up is because the puppet world is not a huge thing. It's very small. It's relatively quite small. So all the puppeteers on that were puppeteers who worked on Sesame Street. And about 2 or 3 years ago, there was sort of a big, I think there was a bit of a shakeup at Sesame. So they were looking for different directors. Okay. And one of the puppeteers a few years earlier was like, you know what, none of the directors outside of us, because a lot of the puppeteers do direct, but none of the outside directors really have a sense of humor. Would you ever consider coming in and directing? And at the time, YouTube wasn't a big thing for Sesame Street. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't really do it because it was not in the DGA. But then lo and behold, like 3 years ago, I got a call saying, would you be interested in coming in to direct some segments at Sesame Digital, which is what the YouTube channel is. And the YouTube channel is not considered broadcast. So you do not have to be in the union to direct those.
Got it.
And I got a cold call because a lot of those puppeteers recommended me. So I don't know this for sure, but I'm probably one of the few outside directors that never really put in a resume or anything like that. I just got called.
Oh, interesting.
So yeah, and so I can, and it was because of working with so many of them. They knew me, they were comfortable, and it was like, it really was like when I stepped on set, it was like kind of like an old homecoming thing, because so many of us knew each other, and there were plenty of new puppeteers too. I worked the first day Megan Peace, I think, worked, who she's the first Black female puppeteer, and she was incredibly nice. So like, so that was a big first that I got to witness, I think, being there. And it was a big grade of Sesame history as well as history, you know.
I mean, if I was creating anything, I would definitely want you there. I'd say, okay, who do I want on set that can help? I can be a Renaissance man and see this and that. I don't want just a writer who can just write. I don't want just an actor who can just act. I want someone who knows stand-up comedy and assistant directing and directing and editing. And I you know, you.
Yeah.
You're very valuable.
You.
So, you know, you have a lot of insights and a lot of good ideas. And you have to make a lot of decisions. And, we made a lot of decisions on another film. So we'll move on to that, the Attenuator film, you wrote. I believe you wrote this.
I wrote it.
Soup to Nuts, right? You did everything.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I wrote it. I directed it. I edited it. I did the visual effects. It came about because I wanted to do something about grief and guilt. And I said, wouldn't it be interesting if we had a film that seemed like it was about guilt, about grief, but it ended up being about guilt. And it basically came to me one night when, and I'm sure you've done this and everyone's done it, when you've done something in your life and years later you're up all night just thinking how you could have done it differently and over and over again.
Yes.
And that's sort of where the basis of Attenuator comes from. You know, that's why it's about a guy who was in a horrible car accident with, at first we believe it's with his girlfriend or wife.
Right.
And he just keeps, and he sees now that in present day, he's in a wheelchair He's immobile, other than he can really just sort of move his finger and move his mouth enough to eat. And you played, not only did you do all the makeup and stuff, you were gracious enough to come in and play the nurse who helps him out and feeds him and stuff, his aide. And so that's where that came from. It's, you know, he could only really move things. And I was like, well, what can, if the whole movie is about a guy sitting in a wheelchair who can't move, how can I make that interesting? So we created the sort of this sort of flashbacks of things he'd be thinking of. And I had a set of VR goggles that I just sort of customized and put on him just to go, well, oh, so what would he be looking at this whole time? What would he be? How can we as the audience see what's going on in his head? And so I just came up with that VR thing, and you know, and there's a twist in it that goes from grief to guilt.
Yeah, I like it a lot. It's very well done. I saw a little. I'm not allowed to post anything, but like I have thousands of files that I'm hoarding, and hopefully we'll show this year, next year. It's very well done. And I'm gonna ask. Well, I actually had broken up with someone in just like a careless way. You know, I was like 24, and when you're, you know, I'm almost 42, so you know, 24. There's definitely things I would never do now, but I did it in kind of careless way. It was a lot of ego. And then 2018, it was a weird week. I had this weird meditation class I went to where I prayed to aliens and all this stuff happened. The SWAT team showed up to a thing, a film set.
Can I stop you for a second?
Yes.
I'm going to have you on my podcast talking about your...
Oh, sure. I have a crazy story. Class. The craziest things happened. I lost weight. I got back to the body because I ended up being disabled right after I dumped this guy.
Oh, my God.
I ended up being disabled for like 2 years, and I gained 20 pounds, and I was teaching workout classes, and I couldn't walk. So imagine that's your job, to teach workout classes, and you can't even move. So my life, like, went to hell after that, and I can't help but believe in karma. But my point is, in 2018, I got the body that I lost in 2010 right after I dumped him. I got it back. Like this, I have all these weird premonitions and things happen, things related to even the Clintons, like very interesting, crazy stories and things related to the DA and government officials that contacted me. Really wild stuff happened. And I also found a bracelet, which I'm wearing, that he gave me. I'm not going to say his name. I found it in the back of my car that I lost. So it's like my body from 2010 came back. My bracelet from 2010 came back. And then I kept thinking in my head, God, you are such a piece of crap. Like, you broke up with him in such a bad way. So I contacted him on Facebook. Thank you, Facebook. And I said, I'm so sorry. You know, I was just such a piece of garbage. And he said, you know, Jenny lady, it's okay. I'm actually walking into this restaurant, which I used to basically get all my food from, this Japanese place. And he's like, I'm walking in that restaurant right now, which he never goes to. As he got the message, he's like, it's okay. Like, don't worry about it, you know. But he's a great guy, and I felt bad. So my final question, probably, Is there anything that you think you messed up on that maybe you were able to make it right, or you wish you made it right, kind of like an attenuator, or you had this guilt and you could fix it?
I'm going to answer that twofold. I'm going to say that if you asked me that 5 years ago, I would say there's quite a number of things.
Wow, interesting.
But I think over a course of time, and I think as you get more mature, you have a tendency to not necessarily let them go, because there are times I'm up all night going like, oh man, that thing I did when I was 18 or 12, I wish I just didn't. I wish I said something different to this person. I think I've come to a point now where I can accept that it happened, and I can't go back, and I can't fix it. So I have to just accept whatever it is I said or did, or even thought I did and probably didn't, you know what I mean? Because the reality is, you're like the main character in your story, but you may not be the main character in somebody else's story. So the kind of thing that you think of might've been a big thing, they might've long since forgotten it, you know? And you've just been sitting with this weird guilt this whole time. And so I think probably within the past 5 years, maybe even less, to be perfectly honest with you, I think it might have been, I've come to the realization that I just have to just accept it and not feel guilty about it, or not feel not feel guilty, but just the fact that I simply cannot go back in time and change anything.
Maybe you can.
Yeah, maybe, possibly.
Maybe. I don't know. There's all this stuff coming out about time travel and astral travel and overlapping timelines. I don't know. Maybe you can go back, or maybe something
maybe
you can
one
do
day.
Now
yeah.
influences the timeline back then. I don't know. I don't. I can't follow this time travel stuff, and my mind doesn't go there. It just doesn't go there.
Right.
But speaking of where your mind goes, please tell our listeners your final thought, anything on your mind today. We got 2 minutes. And also where to find you, your socials, your website, and, you know, anything on your mind.
I think my final thought is of gratitude. Thank you.
That.
Honestly, just thank you for having me on the show. I think to me that shows a trust in some ways, that you trusted that I would come on and you know, tell you a cool story and you know, but you can find me two places, Rob Graydon or Rob Graydon or Graydon Films. Those two things. You can find me on TikTok. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook, though I'm not really on Facebook too much anymore. And my podcast, which is the Stabby Road podcast. We just did a live show last week for our very first time. Oh, that's right. Yeah, but
it was on my calendar, but I did a stunt at the Town of Oyster Bay Town Hall that I almost got kicked out, and I had 5 to 7. I lost count. Town officials came up to me and they wanted to kick me out. It was very stressful, and I knew I would need every ounce of energy in my being to do this stunt, because this is the first public stunt, like comedy, like Sacha Baron Cohen type stuff, if you want to compare it to anyone. So I texted TJ and I was like, I think I need to just go to sleep. And if I didn't go to sleep, I would have had to cancel, because I got in my car and I was sweating. And I was soaked in sweat, like I'd gone to war, and that's why I didn't go. But trust me, I really wanted to go.
So
anyway,
here's the deal. We need to start interviewing you about stuff.
Sure.
Every encounter I have with you, there's always a suggestion of some insane story that you have.
I live for health. And I live for insane stories. You know, Joseph Saladino walked in with me dressed as a man with a blow up doll. My wife Vanessa. And he gave me at least 4 look backs, or at least 3 minimum to 5. Like, what the hell? And what the hell? And there's going to be a lot more of that this year. We're back to comedy, baby. 3 years off, we're getting back. So anyway, this is a very, very long ending, but we have where to find you.
Yep,
Rob
Stabby
Graydon.
Road, Rob Graydon, Graydon Films, and Stabby Road. Mostly TikTok, mostly Instagram, and YouTube, you know, our YouTube channel, which is Stabby Road as well.
And again, I worked with him. I've seen him work, and he's great vibes. He also gets things done, and he understands time management, which a lot of people, their brain just doesn't understand time and how to stay on time. And if my final thought was, if it wasn't for Rob Graydon, if he didn't exist and he didn't come to Tarrytown to shoot 3 days the Necromance, we wouldn't have been able to finish the film, because he kept us on schedule. He was like a military driver. Come on, 3 minutes, 2 minutes. And I was dressed like an athletic event. I knew it was going to be like this, so I was ready, but I loved it. I was like, this guy is scaring me, but I love it. So, yeah, he did a great job. And, you know, we're going to throw it back to Mark Torres for more. It came from the radio.
If you had any honor, you would listen to sci-fi.radio, the sci-fi for your Wi-Fi. Kapla!
Now, back to our show.
So that about does it for this week on the Came From The Radio. Join us right here any week on this radio station. If you miss any part of this show,
tough,
go to our newly revised website, www.itcamefromradio.com. The archives will be up in a week or so. Check us out on such places as btd.radio, sci-fi.radio. Check us out on our places such as Facebook, Instagram, YouTube page, Twitter.
And always follow the cost-benefit ratio. If the benefits outweigh the costs, do it. If the costs outweigh the benefits, don't do it. Or
just Google It Came From The Radio.
And we'll see you next week.
You have been listening to It Came From The Radio with Mark Torres. The views of the show's hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect that of the management, owners, or staff of the station. We now return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.